Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show. This is your host and success coach, Trina Newby, broadcasting to you live this Monday, May 16th, from the beautiful city of Atlanta, Georgia. As always, we're bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and, of course, your ideas a success. Well, I received a great deal of feedback from our broadcast on last Monday as we discussed many topics. We discussed networking and creating your 30-second commercial, and a lot of people emailed me saying that that was really on-time information, and many asked the question, will we be given a teleclass on creating your 30-second commercial? Well, here's the thing. So many of you asked that question. We are indeed going to try our very best and do a Creating Your 30-Second Commercial teleclass coming up maybe in the last Wednesday of this month. So stay tuned to next Monday's show, and we'll probably be announcing the date and the time. I also shared with you three ways to tap into your mind power. And one of the ways, of course, was to do something that would snap you out of thinking negatively or taking your mindset to an area where you really don't need to have it. So we talked about the rubber band method. And I'm interested to know how many of you actually tried the rubber band method or you're actually trying it right now. So if you indeed have tried it or you're currently practicing the rubber band method, I do it all the time, then please let me know. Simply send me an email to tnewby@womenaboutbiz.com. That's tnewby@womenaboutbiz.com. I want to know what your experiences are with using the rubber band. I think I also mentioned that the rubber band method is so good that I have used it with weight loss, and I actually am using it now because it works so well when you want to reach for that piece of chocolate or you want to reach for that extra roll. You can snap yourself. And what the rubber band snapping does, again, is that it actually interrupts your brainwave. Whatever you're thinking about, it actually interrupts that. And so whenever something can be interrupted, it can be quickly corrected. And so, again, I just had a wonderful time on last Monday's show just talking about ways to tap into your mind power. Well, again, as you know, our hot topic this month is wealthy woman, wealthy mind, and today we'll be discussing something very important, which is implementing a wealthy mindset financially. And we're going to have no other than Melissa George, our financial planner and Women About Biz financial advisor. She's going to be on the show today, and she's going to be sharing with us, again, some great information. If you'll remember, Melissa was on our show, I think it was April 25th, and she talked about five characteristics of a wealthy woman. So she's going to continue on today with talking about actually how to implement a wealthy mindset financially. So I'm very excited about that. So you're definitely going to need your pen and your notepad today because you're going to receive information that you're going to be able to put to use right away. At this time, I want to do something that's a tradition here at Successful Woman Radio. I'm going to ask you to share the show with a friend or associate right now by flashing over on your phone and dialing the number of a woman who you know needs motivation, they need encouragement, they need to be around a positive environment. Go ahead and get them on the Successful Woman Radio show today. Ask them to dial in to 347-637-2589. Again, 347-637-2589. In addition to that, if you're listening online, you definitely know what to do. You know, just get on your Twitter account or your Facebook account and shout it out to your friends. They can also listen online by going to blogtalkradio.com/successfulwomanradio, spelled all the way out, or they can feel free to dial in and listen to the show on their phone. This topic, wealthy woman, wealthy mind, I am just ecstatic about this topic because for the first time, I think a lot of people are really understanding the importance of a wealthy mindset. There is nothing you are going to be able to accomplish quite as well if you don't have your mind in place from a wealthy standpoint. And all this month, during the month of May, we have been talking about wealthy woman, wealthy mind. You know, we've talked about how to tap into your mindset from a wealth standpoint, and we've set the foundation for understanding that mental wealth comes before all other forms of wealth. And so, again, I'm very excited about this topic, and I want you to be prepared to receive the information that you hear today, and not just receive it, but I want you to ask yourself the question, how am I going to implement the information that I hear on today's show? How am I going to start today being a wealthy woman? Well, we've got a good business buzz for you today. If you haven't heard, Facebook is changing again. And so if you actually have a group on Facebook, this is for all those people that may have a group. If you do, then Facebook, the social giant, is archiving your groups and creating a new group format page where they hope they will be able to allow group members to participate more and connect more. So group owners are going to get the option of either upgrading to the new group format or creating a fan page. So if you have a group on Facebook, simply go to your group page as the administrator, and you'll see the announcement about this new change. You'll see the announcement at the top of your page. Now, on another note, did you know that even if you have a group page, a fan page, or a community page, Facebook can take it down at any time and for any reason? I have recently seen so many businesswomen who have shared their horror story about having a fan page, or someone put in a simple complaint and Facebook just automatically just zapped, pulled their fan page off, and they were not able to capture any information or figure out what to do. So keep in mind that you don't have total control or ownership on anything on Facebook, and that you need to always make sure you have a way to get the contact information of your fans or your group members. So listen up. This is why it's so important to establish your communication strategy outside of social networks. You've got to understand how to utilize social networking to your advantage. One of the ways, of course, is through understanding how to position links in your social networking so that you can actually offer things like e-newsletters and free coupons and those types of things, where it's going to help you to get contact information of all of your fans or those who are trying to connect with you. Without that, your fan page or your group page can actually hurt you more than it can help you if you don't have a way to connect with all of those individuals, whether you are on Facebook or not. So keep that in mind. And, of course, I would be remiss if we didn't mention the last day for the Oprah Winfrey Show is going to be on May 25th. Now, rumor has it that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett will be amongst her final guests. And so, again, Monday, May 25th, I do believe that's the date, or it should be, I'm sorry, Monday, May 23rd. I do believe that's her last show. So keep in mind that if you were brought up with Oprah, if you've been looking at Oprah, you may definitely want to record her last show. For those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to the Successful Woman Radio Show. I'm your host and success coach, Trina Newby. I want to go ahead with some announcements that we've got. As you know, we have been announcing for quite some time now that we have an Empower Circle Network Leader Program at Women About Biz. If you are a savvy networker, if you're already out there connecting with business women, if you've been thinking for a while about starting your own networking group, then this is something that you may be interested in, becoming a Women About Biz and Power Circle Network Leader. Now, network leaders become partners with Women About Biz in establishing their own networking group in their own community. It's a wonderful way to get known, and in addition to that, it's a great way for connecting with other businesswomen, as well as promoting your business and becoming an established leader in your community, being able to utilize also the Women About Biz brand and logo. So if you're interested in that, simply go to the womenaboutbiz.com website, look up in the top right menu bar, click on networking, and then click on become a leader, and you'll be able to complete the information, and we'll send some information out to you in your email on how to become a network leader. I also want to let you know about a fabulous teleseminar that's actually pertaining to today's topic. Our resident financial advisor, Melissa George, is going to be given a great teleclass entitled Financial Planning 101. Now, there is no time like the present to start your journey to wealth and financial freedom. And so this Wednesday, May 18th at 12 noon, during our Lunch and Learn teleclass, which is free to all, Melissa is going to be sharing with you some vital information on how to really start setting your financial foundation. Here's a brief description. Planning for your business is key, but you should have your personal planning in order first. If you feel that you don't know where to start, or if you're not sure if you even need to start yet, this teleclass is for you. What you'll learn is how the economy and current indicators might be affecting you, the need for a plan, and perhaps having a professional financial planner to help you figure out where you need to start, obstacles that are hindering you from your wealth and financial freedom. And then Melissa is going to give you planning basics, the six essential components of a sound plan. And then, of course, how to build your team, your own personal team of advisors, of people that can help you. And, of course, how to choose a financial planner that is on your side and has your best interest at mind. So, again, this is a very important teleclass. I want to encourage all of those who are listening to also share this information with as many women as you can, because, as you know, at Women About Biz, all of our teleclasses on Wednesday Lunch and Learns are full of meat. We don't give you fluff. We give you great information that you'll be able to put to use right away. So please make sure you sign up for the Financial Planning 101 teleclass, and then make sure that you let others know. Remember, blessing the lives of other women is all a part of investing in the lives of others from a wealth standpoint. When you are wealthy mentally, you want to shout to as many people as you can resources and information that's going to help them as well. It's part of liberating yourself and feeling free, because you are firm in who you are, wealthy and mentally. And so it's important for you to share this information with others. So, again, that's Financial Planning 101 coming up on Wednesday, May 18th at 12 noon. And for those of you who are in Metro Atlanta or any surrounding area, get ready for the Getting Down to Business Conference given by Constant Contact on tomorrow, May 17th from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Gwinnett Center. There's going to be great networking, great information on a lot of classes. This is a free event, so there's still time to register. If you are a part of the Women About Biz Network, you'll probably receive an e-announcement about it again today, and the registration link will be there. If not, again, the event is tomorrow, Tuesday, May 17th from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at Gwinnett Center. It is a free event. And guess what? Yours truly is going to be speaking at the event. I'm going to be talking on the subject, how to turn online connections to offline customers. Social networking, how to turn online connections to offline customers. So I will be there. Women About Biz will have a booth there. So if you plan on attending and you're in Atlanta or any surrounding areas, you better not lose that conference without speaking to me. I look forward to seeing you all on tomorrow. Again, it's about 12:13 after the hour, and for those of you that have just tuned in, you're listening to the Successful Woman Radio Show. I am your host and your success coach, Trina Newby. Well, we have a hot, hot topic for you today, and I'm very, very excited to have someone on the show who I admire dearly. I just really love Melissa George because she gives you such good information, and she tells it like it is. And as a financial planner, she has so much experience. So I want to go ahead and I want to give you a little bit of information about Melissa before she's on the show. Melissa George began practicing financial planning in 1997. She worked for several national firms prior to establishing her own practice, Melissa L. George and Associates, LLC. Over the years, her practice has gravitated toward the unique needs of small to medium-sized business owners and high-level executives, especially women. Her areas of expertise include executive compensation planning, tax-free retirement strategies, and estate planning. By incorporating education into the planning process, her clients are equipped to make informed and impactful decisions. And one of the things that I appreciate about Melissa is that she customizes a person's financial plan based on them, where they are financially at the time, which is so very, very important. Melissa received her Bachelor's in Arts from Georgia State University and is currently pursuing her CFP certification, which is Certified Financial Planning, at the University of Georgia School of Business Terry College. Her professional and civic affiliations include membership in the Georgia Association of Black Women. And so, again, I want to introduce to everyone who's on the show today, Melissa George. Melissa, are you there with us?
Yes, good afternoon, Trina.
Well, hello to you today. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, as you know, you talked about five characteristics of a wealthy woman on the last show, and everyone, we got such a warm response from many of the listeners. So we want to thank you for blessing the lives of those individuals with the five characteristics of wealthy women.
My pleasure. You know, as I was thinking about the five characteristics of wealthy women last month, after the show aired, I did receive a lot of positive feedback about the topic, but I really wondered if any of the listeners made any significant changes in their mindset as well as their behavior. One of those things I talked about, you know, it's one thing for us to think about doing something, but, you know, what type of action are we following up with? And I know you understand what I'm saying. So what I wanted to do was share some concrete instructions on how to actually implement the wealthy mindset.
Okay, wonderful. Very good. So let's go ahead and get right to it.
Okay, well, the first one is to have a plan or consider hiring a planner. Now, I know this may sound like, you know, I'm stating something very obvious, but the reality is that most people don't have a plan. For those that do have a plan, they may have a plan that is outdated or obsolete. And the thing is, if you don't have a plan, really you're already where you're going to be. So this is something that's very, very critical. And for some people, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with creating your own plan. But if for those that are not skilled in creating their own plan, I would always ask them to consider, you know, talking with a professional, you know. And I just wanted to give a couple of compelling statistics on why I think people should at least talk with a planner and see if that's something that will work for them. First of all, about 90% of women feel like they are financially insecure. Trina, doesn't that sound like a high number?
That's a very high number, but it's not surprising to me.
Yeah, so, you know, with 90% feeling financially insecure, this is obviously an area that, you know, we need to spend some time on. 50% of women who work with a financial planner feel more responsible, more confident, and more optimistic. The statistic that I like the best, that I think is most impactful, is that 71% of women who do work with a planner say that they won't have to work during retirement. Now, think about that.
Wow.
You know, retirement is a big piece that we're often thinking about. And for a lot of people, especially during, you know, based upon the last recession that we've just had, some people are having to push off retirement. Some people are having to work through retirement. You know, but 71% of women who work with a planner say that they won't have to work during retirement.
Now, is that because their financial planner has really helped them to strategize based on their goals of what they want in retirement? The financial planner has helped them to strategize that so that that will happen?
Absolutely, but not even just developing the plan. What's so key about developing a plan is that you know, you have annual reviews, so you're constantly checking in to make sure that you're on target, you're going to make your mark, you're going to make the number. I mean, it's one thing to make that projection of what you're going to need in order to retire, but, you know, obviously having all those little check-ins along the way to make sure that you get there, but that is absolutely the reason why.
Mm-hmm. You know, Melissa, one of the things I realized in talking to a lot of women, that's why I said that when you said 90% of women feel financially insecure, it didn't really surprise me because in being a success coach and talking with a lot of women, women have a tendency to appear to be okay on the surface, but there's many times they're unwilling to admit where they are. And so for those of you who are listening, it's time to really take on your mental wealth because that's where it all starts. And if you're not willing to admit that you're not okay financially, that you really have to get a grip on where you are and you've got to figure out where you need to be, you can't get there. Is that correct?
That is true. And, Trina, that is what's so key about that is, you know, as women, we really do have a gift for suiting up every day, and we can look like $1 million, but that might not really be the case. And so as we start transforming our minds from just thinking about a wealthy mindset and start putting that into place, we really do have to have that conversation and get honest with ourselves about where we are.
I believe so, and I'm glad that we're actually talking about that. And for those of you who are tuning in, I do see people coming on to the show. You are listening to the Successful Woman Radio Show, and I'm here talking with Melissa George, financial planner, and we're talking on the topic implementing the wealthy mindset. So, Melissa, you have shared some incredible statistics, and I'm with you. I like the fact that 71% of women who work with a financial planner say they won't have to work during retirement, and that sounds so wonderful that you can just wake up every day and just be free to plan and do what you want. Go ahead, Melissa, and let us know what else do we need to do to implement a wealthy mindset.
Well, this one is really, really interesting, Trina, and this one is called Find Your Latte Factor. Now, I know a lot of the listeners may be familiar with author David Bach. He's written a lot of successful books. One of them that comes to mind is Smart Women Finish Rich. Have you heard of that book?
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Well, author David Bach coined this phrase in the early 90s utilizing Starbucks latte. Now, you know, we're in the age of designer coffee today, but what the latte factor actually means, it simply means finding ways of saving money by cutting out small daily or weekly expenses. So, you know, Trina, consider this. Of those who drink coffee, the average daily consumption is about 3.1 cups. And in the age of designer coffee, lattes, cappuccinos, and more, the average cost per cup is conservatively about $3.50 per cup.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, you know, and even when we go and get coffee, sometimes we don't just get coffee. We get a pastry that goes along with it. And so it doesn't really seem like much, but over time it really, really adds up. So in this example of finding your latte factor, we're using coffee as an example, but you can substitute anything there. You can substitute, you know, if people have a habit of smoking, you can substitute cigarettes. Or let's even talk about eating out for lunch. How many people are stopping by someplace and picking up breakfast in the morning, they're getting their coffee, and then they're also going out for lunch? They very easily could be spending, let's say, you know, $10 a day. So what I wanted to do is give an example of, you know, let's just assume your latte factor is $10 a day. That's $10 a day every day that you're spending. That's money that you probably could not be spending. And I'm going to be using a modest 6% rate of return. But in 1 year, if you were to save that $10 a day, it's just shy of $4,000 a year. Can you imagine that?
Okay. Wow.
Instead of maybe the designer coffee, maybe you just have a regular cup of coffee, maybe you pack your lunch, you know, fix breakfast at home. But just let me show you how staggering that statistic can get. In 10 years, that could equal $51,000. Again, I'm using a very modest 6% rate of return. In 20 years, $142,000. In 30 years, $305,000. It really, really does add up. So, you know, what my question is to the listeners today is, how many years do you have left when you really start thinking about getting serious about a wealthy mindset and planning for retirement? You know, how much are you willing to do? And these are just small. These are talking about something very, very small. We're not talking about, you know, cutting out a big portion of something that you spend on every month. But we're just talking about those little things that you can change. And Trina, what I wanted to do is I wanted to provide a tool for the listeners.
If
anyone out there would like to calculate their own latte factor, David Bach has a fantastic calculator on his website, and you can go on there and you can actually put in for different types of items or different amounts and put in different rates of return, and it can tell you what your latte factor is going forward. But for people to find out what that is, they can go to www.finishrich.com/latte factor. I'm going to repeat that again. www.finishrich.com/latte factor.
Wonderful. And for those of you who are listening, latte is L-A-T-T-E, so it's two T's in latte. Well, I'm just sitting here with my mouth open, literally, looking at just how we place value on certain things and then on certain things that we don't. And I want to slow it down just a little bit, Melissa, and talk about this with women, because women have a tendency a lot of the times to not see the value in certain things. I know from a small business perspective, for example, women have a tendency when they come into my office and I say, well, you're going to need a website. You're also going to go ahead and set up a bookkeeping system or that type of thing. One of the first things they're asked me is, okay, can you recommend a book so I can do it myself, or can you recommend a resource where I can create my own website? And it's so hilarious because a man will come in here in my office and sit down and talk with me, and as I tell him all of the things that he needs to do, the man will automatically say to me, okay, who's going to do it for me? Can you recommend somebody?
It just shows you
the difference between the mindset of how business women think sometimes, not all, but many do think in a certain way, that as women, we have a tendency to act sometimes before we think, and we aren't looking at the value that we are taking away from our lives. And this is one of the areas in financial planning. The information you gave, just $10 a day. Now, ladies, those of you who are listening, you know as well as I do that $10 a day is spent by us very easily. We may not know what we've spent it on, but if you stop at to get gas, you might get a soda or a bottle of water or something. And throughout your day, you're paying a dollar here and a dollar there, but you're probably spending $10 a day.
Right.
But look at how it can contribute to your life if you just take the time to sit down and really think about what you can do to help yourself now. Because oftentimes, Melissa, a woman will say, well, you know, I don't make enough money to really invest right now.
Right.
I don't make enough money to take out insurance on myself right now. I mean, women have this tendency to put up a lot of excuses about what they don't have enough of. But in having a wealthy mindset, we have to get rid of all of those negative thoughts.
Right.
And we have to embrace ourselves where we are now, because you just proved even $10 a day, look at what it can do. In just 30 years, it can give us over $300,000. So I'm going to let you go ahead and continue on with talking about implementing the wealthy mindset.
Well, thank you, Trina. And you really touched on something as well. You know, the thing about it is, you know, when we talk about things that we value, one of the favorite quotes that was told to me many, many years ago is, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, when will you have the time to do it over? And most of us, we don't get a second shot at retirement. You know, once you're 65 or whatever that magic age is for you, you're not going to get to go back and do it all over again. So it is really critical that we not only place value on things of substance, but we also place value on, you know, hiring the appropriate expertise when needed. And everyone may not need it, but for those that do need it, it is really worth the money to make sure that you get it done the right, you know, get it done right the first time. So, you know, as we're moving along, you know, this next one is, you know, we're talking about cash is king. Now, this is so critical because wealthy people generally do not carry revolving debt. instead, what they do is they leverage debt. So basically what I'm talking about are, you know, credit cards and things of that nature. And so mm-hmm. often I'm meeting with clients and prospects that have a huge amounts of credit card debt, and I know probably significantly more in our current economic climate. But here's something that we really need to think about. You know, credit, if you're going to leverage credit cards, you really should be using that for points, for plane tickets, for perks, other things of that nature. And if you've got credit card debt, it's really time to eliminate it. And so here's, I want to give some steps on, you know, how someone, even if they're not going to work with a planner, if they're going to do this on their own, here's some ways to go about eliminating the credit card debt. And the first step is to remove the cards from your wallet. I mean, seriously, you need to take those cards out of your purse, your wallet, and you need to leave them in the house. I know that's a difficult step.
I agree.
It is,
but I totally agree with you.
Yeah, so I'm not telling anyone to cancel the accounts or close the accounts out, but to take those cards out of their wallet. That's going to force you into a situation where if you don't have the money, if you don't have cash, if you don't have money, you know, with your debit card in your account, then you're not going to spend it on. It's going to really make you start to think, how bad do I really need this thing? So that's the first one. The second one is to negotiate your interest rates. And, you know, first of all, a lot of times we have not because we ask not. It's very easy. It starts with a conversation with our credit card companies asking if we can get a lower interest rate. And sometimes, you know, that doesn't work as well as we would like to. But, again, I'm going to give a tool. David Bach, again, provides some great information in his book on how to do this. And he has a free book download called Start Over, Finish Rich. And I'm actually going to provide this link, and I'm going to blog this topic later on today that will have the link in there where people can.
Oh, wonderful.
They actually have some very unique tools on how to get your credit card interest rates negotiated down. They even have, each company generally has a specific division that is, their sole purpose is designed to help you negotiate and to help consumers reduce their interest rates. So I'm going to provide that later on. But now once you've kind of gone through, you've made you have a list here, all your credit cards, you have your balances, you have your interest rates and so forth. What you really want to do is pay the minimums on all of your cards except one. Now, there's different, you know, many different opinions about which one you should try to pay off first. Is it the one with the highest interest rate? Is it the one with the highest balance? Personally, I like to pick the one with the lowest balance.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why I like to do that. You know, in my opinion, when you pay off the card with the lowest balance first, you can do it quicker, but once you do that, you know, it does more for you psychologically and thus keeping you encouraged, and it has a positive effect on your credit score. So you're kind of doing two things at one time. So in my opinion, I would pay off the one with the lowest balance. So you're paying your minimums on all your other cards, and any additional funds you have, you're going to put all that towards the one with the lowest balance. Try to pay that one off as quickly as possible. So you're going to do that, and once you have paid off that lowest card, you're going to take those same funds and move it to the next card with the lowest balance. And you just kind of repeat that process. And as a treat to yourself, you know, as you pay down your debt, you might reward yourself where you're able to put one credit card back in your wallet. Again, you don't want to use it frivolously, but you want to be responsible with it. So let me just give a couple of tips about this. Again, I said don't cancel off any of your cards because your credit score is largely affected by your open to buy limit. And really, as a rule of thumb, if you have a credit card that's has nothing on it, generally speaking, you never want to charge more than 50% of your available limit on that card. Once you start charging up more than 50%, that's when it starts to have a negative effect on your credit. Even if you're paying it off, you're paying it every month, you know, you're paying on time and so forth. Let's see here, and I think that's about it on Cash is King. I mean, again, you know, paying off that credit card debt is so critical for having that wealthy mindset. You know, you want to get to a position where you're really leveraging the credit card and not using it as a survival type of tactic.
Definitely so, and I really like the fact that you pointed out that you really don't want to use more than 50% of your available limit, and I don't think a lot of people don't know that. And you know, if you have a $1,000 limit, you really shouldn't use more than $500 limit. And from my understanding and talk, I was recently in a conversation with a bank officer, and one of the things that he was sharing with me is that Once you start using that 50%, over that 50% limit, these are all indicators to the credit card company that there may be problems with you financially. And what they start doing is they start doing credit checks and different things like that, and you may start noticing interest increase on your credit card. You may also start noticing that they cut off your limit, that at whatever level you've spent, that's where they cut you off at, and you can't
absolutely
spend anymore. So you do have to be careful about that. So I'm glad that you brought that point up. What else do you think we need to do to implement that wealthy mindset?
Well, you kind of touched on one a little bit earlier, Trina, and that was, you know, a lot of women feel like they don't have enough money to invest or they don't have enough money to carry life insurance. But I want to just talk briefly about legacy planning. You know, most of us weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouths. And truth be told, many of us have had to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. You know, some of us are carrying large amounts of debt from the expensive education that allowed us to get to where we are now. And obviously it would have been so much easier if there had been funds accumulated or inherited from our families that, you know, could have provided for college education or other things. But, you know, there are some major segments of the population who are without appropriate legal documents and grossly underinsured. You know, and what happens is when these people die prematurely, it not only leaves emotional losses, but often significant financial losses as well. So I just wanted to touch on some of the bare minimums that each person should have, you know, when we start thinking about trying to protect the ones that we love. So as far as our legal documents, every person should have a will, a power of attorney, and a medical directive. These are the basics. And so in, you know, in your will, you're going to, you know, you're going to point out what things you want to happen, you know, who gets what. Your power of attorney is generally for someone who would make financial decisions for you if you were unable to do so yourself. And, of course, the medical directive is for, you know, how do you want things to happen if you're unable to make medical decisions for yourself? And people really don't think about these things a lot until they get into a situation. And I just recently had this with my grandparents where you've got someone who's on life support. You need someone that can make those financial decisions as well as those medical decisions for them. And most people think, well, you know, I don't have an estate. You know, I really don't have a lot of money. You know, I really don't need to do anything like this. I don't need to put a will in place. But that's really, really not the case. And I would challenge the listeners to really check and see what the state law, whatever state that they're in, there's probably a state document that already says if you don't have a will or any type of legal documents, they've already provided one for you. I happen to have a copy of the one in Georgia. And it may not necessarily say what you want it to say. So this is really, you know, an important area. You know, additionally, Trina, a lot of us have blended families. I'm sure you may be from a blended family with so many marriages and divorces and children from different families and things of that nature. A lot of people don't really think about how that affects the legal portion of things. So this is obviously an area where people need to have things really spelled out in terms of what your wishes are from a legal perspective. And the last thing is, a lot of times people that do go ahead and they get legal documents, which is fantastic, that's also a document that needs to be updated, especially if there have been any type of major lifestyle changes, if there's been a marriage, a divorce, if there have been children born or adopted, if there's been a death, if someone has started a business. These are all, you know, critical times to just review, make sure everything is listed as you would wish. And the second portion of this is life insurance, and this is always a key part that I like to discuss. When I say life insurance, I mean not employer-sponsored, particularly for people. If you're working for a large company, you've got group insurance. It's very, very inexpensive, which is fantastic. You don't have to show any evidence of insurability. You're automatically included into that life insurance plan. But, you know, 95% or more of those plans, that life insurance is not portable. So as soon as you leave the job, that life insurance goes away. And, you know, we're at a time when no one really works at a job for 30 years. Like, you know, maybe our parents or grandparents did. They'd work 30 years. You know, we're working multiple jobs. And sometimes we have these spells where we're unemployed. And so when I talk about life insurance, I really mean always having some life insurance outside of your employer. If you have children or you are financially responsible for others, either special needs children or elderly parents, this is a critical area, and I, you know, I always feel like, you know, you should have some life insurance outside of that. And if you own a business, you know, if there's if you have a partnership, or even if you're just a sole proprietor, you know, someone should really be looking at, you know, do they have the appropriate amounts of life insurance? And, you know, sometimes it can be a lot less expensive than people think. But another thing to think about is to get it when you're younger and you're healthy. As we get older and we develop medical conditions that may cause the rates on the policy to be more expensive, or occasionally people become uninsurable. So those are really some key areas to think about.
Wow, and this is good information, again. And if you guys want to know why this is all a part of implementing a wealthy mindset, again, keep in mind that these are bare basic things that really should be done, and that wealth starts in the mind first. And a wealthy woman is not going to let these type of things go by her without her taking advantage of them and figuring out how she can utilize them to her advantage. And so this is why these are the types of things that really it's not an option for you. If you are living and breathing, you have to have some plan of retirement, and you have to have emergency documents and legal documents in place for yourself, especially if you have children that are 18 or younger, you're taking care of someone, like Melissa said. So I pray and hope that many of you who are listening on the show today are taking good notes so that you can ask questions. We will have a short time for questions and answers. Okay, go ahead, Melissa, and continue on with letting us know some other things that we need to be doing.
Okay, Trina, this is the last area that I'm going to cover today, and this is about retirement planning, which obviously is a big piece that we're always working towards. And, you know, I just wanted, again, you know, I'm always full of statistics, so let me just give you a few statistics and then just kind of wrap this session up. You know, back in 1935, when Social Security was first implemented, the average male life expectancy was about 60 years old, and for females it was about 64. You know, and retirement at that time was a combination of Social Security, some type of company pension, and personal savings. But the trend that has happened here today, the average life expectancy for males is about 76 years old, and for female it's about 81. But I'm sure most of the listeners can probably think of at least one person that has lived far beyond, you know, 76 or 80. In fact, my grandmother, who passed in 2009, was 93. So many people need to really consider living 20, 30, or even more years in retirement. So it's not a situation where they just need to accumulate enough money to last them maybe 10 or 15 years. They really need to think about if there's longevity in their family, they could potentially live 20, 30, or more years in retirement. And even for those of us who've done a great job of accumulating assets in our 401ks and our other retirement plans, you know, the recent recession accounted for about 40% of many people's retirement. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, some people may have had to have pushed off retirement. Many people have had to reduce their standard of living in retirement based upon that recession. So I'm really providing all this information basically to state the obvious. You know, we're living longer. We have less resources to support our retirement income. You know, a lot of companies are doing away with their defined benefit plans and pensions. And we all know what's going on with Social Security right now. There's a huge segment of the population. You know, we're not sure if we're going to get anything. So the onus is really on us to plan for our own retirement. So I wanted to talk about some of the unique challenges that face small and growing businesses as it relates to funding for retirement. You know, there's no longer a large company, you know, when you own a small business, there's no longer a large company making matching contributions on your behalf. And as while I think it's fantastic that people go out and start their own business, that's really the lifeblood of our country, it becomes even more critical that we continue to fund our nest egg. You know, so what I generally see happens in the early years of a business, people are not able to make any contributions at all because they're trying to, you know, they're putting all of the money that they're making back into the business to make sure that the business remains solvent. But if you can't make new contributions, it's really, really critical that we continue to manage your existing retirement assets. That's just essential. You know, so you can even position your retirement fund so that you can participate in the growth of the market when it goes up and never lose money when it goes down. And I know that sounds fascinating and certainly a topic for another time because we don't have as much time to discuss that, but there are ways to protect the current assets that you have so that you're not going to lose money going forward. You know, so as the business grows, you are in a position to make contributions. The type of plan that a company would select becomes very critical based on the type of company that they have and their desire and ability to fund a retirement plan for them and their employees. You know, what I often hear, Trina, is that a small business owner gets to the point where they can start making contributions to fund their retirements, but they may or may not want to be on the hook every year to fund for their employees. And so that becomes a situation where, you know, there are many options to fund retirement, and as a business owner, there are some really attractive executive compensation plans that they can implement for themselves separate from their employees. And obviously, if they have a financial planner, that would be one person that would help them navigate through this. There are also resources online for them to look into. But again, the retirement piece is just becoming such a critical factor that, you know, people can't wait to the last minute. They absolutely have to have a plan. And I obviously recommend speaking with a financial planner. That works for a lot of people, maybe not for everyone, but certainly something to consider.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, again, for our listeners, you know, I use myself as an example because I just want to testify to the fact that these decades of ours, these 10-year marks pass by so very, very fast. You know, my daughter is 22 years old now. I can remember it like it was yesterday, and it's hard to even believe that I'm right in the 50 zone. And so things happen really fast. This is why I'm always trying to encourage you as our listeners that you've got to have a vision. You've got to plan for your future, and this is all a part of it. Melissa, you know, I know you have a couple of more points, but I just want to thank you at this time for, first of all, for being a resident advisor at Women About Biz, but for really bringing and shedding light on the truth about financial planning and as women, why we really need to get up to par on this. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Trina. And as I stated, I'm going to recap all of these points that I mentioned today. I will blog it on the Women About Biz website along with those additional resources that I mentioned for the listeners so that they can have access.
Oh, wonderful. So everybody make sure you check the blog area of Women About Biz just by visiting womenaboutbiz.com, looking in the top right menu bar and clicking on blog, and you should see Melissa's input there later on today. Back to you, Melissa.
Well, Trina, that's kind of going to wrap up my points for today. I wanted to make sure that I gave enough, you know, concrete information, but also I didn't know if there were maybe any listeners that had any specific questions. I'm certainly open to answering any questions that are available at this time.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And before that, I want, Melissa, go ahead and let everyone know how they can contact you.
Absolutely. There are a couple of ways people can contact me. My website is www.melissalgeorge.com, and that is spelled MelissaLGeorge.com. If people would like to go directly to my business blog, it's www.melissalgeorge.blogspot.com. And obviously, people are more than welcome to connect with me directly on Women About Biz. I would love to have people connect with me there. I will certainly answer any questions that you have. And certainly, people can call my office as well. My office number is 678-325-0100. And I look forward to hearing from any and all of your listeners.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Melissa. Well, we have a few minutes. We have about 12 minutes before the show ends, and we want to set some time aside for our inspirational moment, but we also want to take your questions. So if you have a quick question for Melissa George, feel free to press star 1 on your phone keypad, and that will help us to unmute your call. So if you have any questions right now about financial planning or anything that Melissa has talked about today on the show, please press star 1 on your phone keypad. Wonderful. Okay, I see that we have a caller who is on her last 4. The phone number is 1130. Caller on line 1130, you're live on the air. State your name and the city, and then proceed with your question. Go ahead.
Hi, ladies. My name is Shalala, and I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Shalala.
Hi.
Hi, Shalala.
I just wanted to say I find this show very encouraging, so I'm really grateful for you coming on the show today, Melissa.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. I am 27 years old, a college graduate. I actually have not been in the workforce. I have not worked a job, so to say, where I was actually a taxable job since about 2007. I've been working on and off, not really working, and they were all tax-free jobs. I am currently, like, really going hard looking for a job and kind of getting some offers. But as every year you get that I guess the Social Security statement or whatever, and it's like I feel like I'm really behind because it's like I have a lot of years of not stable work. What would you say is the best method? I've listened to the whole show. The best thing that I could do once I do start working to kind of, like, because I don't have a 401k, like I don't have any of these things. When I was working, I was in college, so it was kind of on and off. What would you say would be, I don't have any children, is the best way that I could get this ball rolling to get a 401k and get some savings, because those are completely depleted now?
Okay, well, let me just encourage you a little bit further first and tell you that the biggest asset that you have on your time right now is time. You know, a lot of people don't really get serious about their retirement planning until they're in their 30s and 40s, and just the time factor alone, you can really make up a lot of the ground that you feel that you've lost already.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I would say to you is even if you're not working for a company that has a 401k, there are other individual plans that you can put in place for yourself. And again, we talked about the latte factor earlier on. You know, even if it's just really getting a handle on your budgeting, you know, your cash flow, what's coming in versus what's going out, and really trying to trim any additional areas that you can, and start putting, even if it's small increments, you could set up an individual retirement account, whether it's a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA, and you can start doing some things on your own even before working for an employer that has a 401k. And obviously, I would absolutely love to help you if you'd like to do so. You have my contact information. You certainly can reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to help you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Wonderful. And thank you, Shalala, for asking that important question again. I agree with Melissa, and I'm excited to hear we have young women on the call because, Shalala, you're 27, so that is going to give you some time, but don't take that time for granted. Act now. Learn now, and don't feel like just because you don't have a job that you are powerless to do anything. Do something now. Go ahead and make sure you connect with Melissa. Okay, wonderful. I see that we have another caller. Let me see if we have anyone else. No, we don't have another caller. If you're interested, we have space for a couple more calls. Go ahead and press star 1 on your phone keypad now, star 1 on your phone keypad, and then we can unmute you, and you can ask Melissa a question if you'd like to. Okay, wonderful. I see that we have a caller whose last 4 is 2510. 2510, state your name, city, and proceed with your question. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Melissa, good afternoon. My name is Veronica Guzon-Rose, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Good afternoon.
Okay, the thing I'm thinking about now, I am 61 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I have started a home-based business, which is picking up pretty good.
Okay.
I was thinking of taking an early retirement and maybe just work one day a week to cover for my insurance and continue to do this business.
Okay. What can you tell me what your question is?
My question is, do you think that would be a good idea for me to do?
I would probably say that I would like to know a little bit more detailed information before I would make that type of recommendation. And obviously, since we are on the air, I know you probably don't want to go through all the details of your particular situation, but I'd certainly be happy to talk with you offline to see if it really makes good sense, mm-hmm. makes good financial sense, basically. It's just to make sure that, you know, making a significant change like that, if, you know, you would obviously be able to cover all your expenses and also to take into account, you know, the inflation factor that happens going forward. But I would certainly be willing to speak with you offline. I'd be happy to do so.
Okay,
and Melissa,
no problem.
Wonderful. And could you... caller, could you please state your first name again for us, please?
My first name is Veronica.
Veronica. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
I'm in Maryland.
Okay.
Okay, Veronica. Please give me a call.
And, Melissa, if you could state your contact information, so for those who are listening, again, you can connect with Melissa. You can get a consultation through her. Melissa, go ahead and give us your phone number again.
Okay, my office number is 678-325-0100. Again, that's 678-325-0100. For those listeners that may want to just send an email instead, they can send it to melissa@melissalgeorge.com. That's my direct email.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Melissa, we've had such a wonderful time with you being on the show, and I definitely took good notes, and I hope that our listeners did. Thank you again for being on the show, and well, hey, you know you're going to be back again and again because we love you, and again, we just appreciate you so much for being the resident financial advisor at Women About Biz. For those of you who are listening, make sure you go to our blog later today or tomorrow and check out Melissa's blog input, because she is going to place some of those resources on the blog as well. Melissa, thank you again.
Thank you, Trina. It's always a pleasure.
Wonderful. And, of course, we have a little bit of time, and we're going to move right into our inspirational moment in just a couple minutes. Have you actually received your wealth mentally yet? Wealthy, first and foremost, is a state of mind, a state of being. You see, long before financial wealth, you must become mentally wealthy in order to keep your financial wealth. Start today by ridding yourself of negative thoughts and anything that is interfering with you being mentally wealthy. To be mentally wealthy means that you have taken charge of your mind and that all of your actions are all geared towards you having a more abundant life. From creating an environment in your home that gives you peace and serenity to surrounding yourself with friends and associates that can contribute to your life rather than take away. My mental wealth is most important. That's what you should be saying to yourself. So here's a quick affirmation. Say it with me now. My mental wealth is most important. That's right, because through it all, other levels of wealth can be achieved. Let me repeat that. Because through it all, other levels of wealth can be achieved. There is no other option to an abundant life. Therefore, I embrace my mental wealth today. Let me repeat that. There is no other option to an abundant life. Therefore, I embrace my mental wealth today. So if I put this affirmation all together, it would say, my mental wealth is most important because through it all, other levels of wealth can be achieved. There is no other option to an abundant life. Therefore, I must embrace my mental wealth today. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and I hope to see many of you tomorrow at the Constant Contact Getting Down to Business Conference. If you haven't registered yet, please make sure you register for Melissa's teleclass, Financial 101 teleclass. It's going to be off the wall. We still got room left, so please make sure you go to womenaboutbiz.com, click on events in the top red menu bar, be able to register for, again, Financial 101. I know that most of the information that you have heard today that you are going to be able to put into use in your life and see some change. You want to be amongst the 71% of women who work with a planner and who say they don't have to work during retirement. Now is the time to get a grip. Thank you so much for being a listener on the show today. We love you, and remember, you're going to embrace your mental wealth because there is no other option to an abundant life. You must be mentally wealthy first. Take care, everybody. Have a prosperous and abundant week. Bye-bye.